Okay, so next, Marion Rosen will present on the Buoyant and Quixotic. Fanny Bellingham, a 19th century evangelical missionary working in Ireland.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much, Ailva, for encouraging me to present here. 19th century Ireland saw the spread of Protestant evangelical missionary activism and the establishment of societies determined to bring the good news of salvation to the Roman Catholic population. Many women immersed themselves in the work. One such activist was Fanny Bellingham. Frances Fanny Bellingham was born on the 4th of May, 1808, into an aristocratic and wealthy family. She was daughter of John Bellingham, third son of Sir Alan Bellingham, Castle Bellingham, a substantial landowner in County Louth and the city of Dublin, and his first wife, Elizabeth Jane Stewart, daughter of William Stewart, Wilmot, Belfast, a merchant and a member of a prominent linen family. Stewart was also a partner in the Newry Flour Mill Company and was one of 15 gentlemen who started the Belfast Discount Company in March 1793. Nine sisters in Fanny's mother's family, the Stewarts, had been converted to evangelicalism by a maidservant. She had heard Reverend William Benjamin Stewart Matthias proclaim the good tidings of salvation to thousands on the neighbouring mountains while he was curate in Rathfryland, County Down. Three Stewart sisters later married evangelical clergymen, and Anna Stewart married Reverend Matthias. This spiritual transformation of evangelicals was expected to lead to a missionary zeal for the conversion of others. In Ireland, where evangelicals were operating among an overwhelmingly Roman Catholic population, this came to mean the conversion or proselytizing of Catholics to the Protestant faith. In 1818, Reverend Robert Daly Powerscourt and the barrister Henry J. Monk Mason established the Irish Society for Promoting the Education of the Native Irish through the medium of their own language. The Irish Society employed literate Irish-speaking farmers, labourers, tradesmen or teachers of good moral character to teach what its founders calculated to be the 2 million illiterate Irish-speaking Roman Catholics to read the Bible in their vernacular language, Irish. In 1821, the Irish Society circulated an appeal, quote, "Are there any ladies likely to become interested in promoting in a way consistent with their situations in life, education through the instrumentality of this society," unquote. The voluntary religious associations offered women opportunities to become involved in the work of their male relatives and friends, albeit in a supportive role. In response to the appeal, the Ladies Auxiliary to the Irish Society was established in 1822. And in 1841, Fanny Bellingham, at the age of 33 and unmarried, was named as one of 22 committee members. The Irish Society devoted its early years exclusively to the mechanical work of teaching the Irish-speaking population to read the Bible in Irish. It was prohibited by its constitution from providing religious instruction. By 1834, it felt duty-bound to provide scriptural instruction for those whom it had led to scriptural knowledge through reading the Bible. So it permitted the Ladies Auxiliary to supply and pay scripture readers and missionaries for this, the Irish Society's missionary phase. It was in the provision and funding of scripture readers, missionaries and preachers for the conversion of the Roman Catholics to Protestantism that the evangelical missionary work of Fanny Bellingham lay. future readers had to be men of the same grade as the Irish peasants themselves, men of morals, intelligence, and scriptural education, Monk Mason later wrote. They read and examined the scriptures with the Irish Society teacher, went alone or with the teacher to the houses of the Irish Society schools and scholars and their families. They opened day schools and night schools. They had access to people in a way which the minister could not. Fanny Bellingham was a committee member of the Ladies Auxiliary in 1841, when it funded and supplied 37 scripture readers throughout Ireland for the Irish Society at a cost of £700, money raised privately. Typical of such private collections was the £19.17.6 that Fanny raised from County Tyrone and Scotland. The Irish Society's male committee forbade the ladies to raise any funds publicly. By 1843, the Ladies Auxiliary employed 47 scripture readers. The year 1845 saw the start of the calamitous Great Famine in Ireland. Many perceived such afflictions as coming from the hand of God and saw them, as the Ladies Auxiliary did, as opportunities to bring salvation to the Roman Catholics. This was particularly urgent during the famine, since the Catholics were in imminent danger of death without having been given the chance for salvation through their conversion to Protestantism, many believed. In 1845, Fanny Bellingham met Reverend Alexander Robert Charles Dallas, the evangelical vicar of the parish of Woolston, Hampshire, in England. Initially, it was the conversion of the Jews that held Dallas's interest and that first brought him to Ireland and to Dublin in 1839. Dallas had become convinced, though, of the need to bring the gospel to the Irish Roman Catholics. In 1845, he inquired of the brewer and philanthropist, Arthur Guinness, Rutland Square, as to who could give him further information on the state of the Irish people. "Nobody could help you better than Fanny Bellingham," Guinness replied. Reverend Dallas recorded that Fanny Bellingham lived with her sister Anne in Dorset Street, Dublin, in 1845. Other records show that her mother died in 1820 and her father died in 1826. The Bellingham Family Bible reveals that Anne was married to a Dr. John Peebles, and newspapers show that the Peebles lived at 26 Upper Dorset Street, Dublin. Their home was near to the hub of Irish evangelicalism, Bethesda Chapel on Dorset Street, where their uncle-in-law, Reverend Matthias, had been chaplain from 1810 to 1841. It is likely that the Bellingham sisters attended the sermons preached there by evangelical clergymen. Reverend Dallas was received by the Bellingham sisters with Irish friendliness and Christian kindness. He was impressed by the work of the Ladies Auxiliary in employing scripture readers, and saw it as a step in advance of the Irish Society's mechanical teaching mission. All were agreed on the need to employ more scripture readers. Following Dallas's visit, Bellingham embarked on a missionary tour of the south, throughout the south and west of Ireland, along with the Ladies Auxiliary, the secretary, Alicia Mason. Meanwhile, Dallas returned to England. He devised a plan to reach the Irish Roman Catholics by using the pen post, over the heads, as it were, of the priests who would otherwise thwart his efforts to reach them. The uniform penny post established throughout the United Kingdom on the 10th of January 1840 allowed letters weighing not more than half an ounce, 14 grams, to be delivered anywhere at the flat rate of one penny. Dallas's widow, Anne, later wrote that during all this time, Dallas kept up a correspondence with Miss Bellingham, which was, she claimed, the means of sifting and organizing the preliminary steps of his plan. Dallas traveled cheerily to Dublin to consult with Bellingham on how to obtain the names and addresses of Roman Catholics. In 1845, the government had ordered survey into crops and farming in Ireland. Bellingham and Dallas procured a great number of these papers, and Bellingham recruited 6 Protestant men, all of them converts, to travel throughout Ireland distributing the papers. They supplied the 6 agents with envelopes, postage stamps, and blank paper books, into which they wrote the names of as many respectable and middle-class Roman Catholics as they could find. When a certain number of pages were filled with names, they were torn out and posted to Dallas in England. Mr. Durand, a wealthy evangelical benefactor, approved the plan and funded the postage. Back in Wunston Vicarage, a team of young Christian women wrote the names and addresses on stamped envelopes. Making sure that they did not exceed the half-hour's weight of the penny post, they filled them with copies of 4 of Dallas's tracts. A Voice from Heaven to Ireland, in English and in Irish. Bellingham had to get it translated into Irish for Dallas in Dublin. A Look Out of Germany, Ireland into Germany, and a paper of selected texts from scriptures, which Bellingham had insisted be included. 20,000 packets were dispatched with military precision on different dates from Bristol, Manchester, Birmingham, Liverpool, Edinburgh, and London to arrive in Ireland on the 16th of January, 1846, like flakes of snow from heaven, Dallas reported. These were later followed by 16,000 letters in September and October. Reverend Dallas' objective in 1846 was not to form a new organization, but to excite these incredulous gentlemen of the Irish society to a combined and energetic effort for the conversion of the Romans by sending more missionaries into the field. Despite long and tedious negotiations, neither Dallas nor the Ladies Auxiliary could persuade the Irish Society to agree. As Fanny Bellingham and Alicia Mason became increasingly frustrated with the Irish Society, they became more and more involved with Reverend Dallas's plans for a new missionary crusade in Ireland, the Irish Church missions to the Roman Catholics. They were his fellow workers, Dallas recorded. Reverend Dallas made several trips to Ireland. Bellingham put him in touch with Captain and Mrs. Blake in the Irish-speaking Doon region of County Galway, where Mrs. Blake operated a girls' scriptural school, supported by Reverend Edwin Moore of Connor. Dallas opened his first little mission station in Ireland in nearby Castlekirk. The Ladies Auxiliary supplied a scripture reader funded by Edward Durant. In September 1847, Bellingham wrote to Hyacinth Darcy, whom she had met on her missionary visit to Achill in 1845. A very great friend of Ireland is to be in Dublin next week, Mr. Dallas of Wunston, only for 3 days. I am sure he would like to hear your account of Connemara. He has done so much for Captain Blake's locality, I should like much to interest him in Clifton. Might I ask him to call upon you? Hyacinth Darcy was son of John Darcy, who founded the town of Clifton in 1812. During the famine, Clifton became the administrative centre for relief in Connemara, and the once thriving town that Hyacinth inherited in 1839 was soon overcrowded with starving people looking for relief, work, charity, and food. In Black 1847, 87% of its population was dependent on soup rations distributed by the relief commissioners, Christine Cornelia Shaun. Dallas visited Darcy in Clifton before 1847 was out. With Darcy's help, he set up the Irish Church missions to the Roman Catholics in Clifton. So ably dealt with in Miriam Moffat's works, the site for Irish Church Missions and Supers and Jumpers. Fanny Bellingham's health was fragile between 1848 and 1850. She used her time to pray more earnestly to God. She turned her attention to the city of Dublin. In 1848, she prayed God, quote, for Christ's sake, to show her the way to do something, unquote, for the 200,000 Roman Catholics in the city. There were, another quote, a mass of souls wandering on in ignorance of their own danger, rushing on to destruction, and no cry raised to warn them of their danger, no hand stretched out to save, unquote. Fanny Bellingham set up a scripture class for the few Roman Catholic men in her home. She set up a scripture class for a few Roman Catholic men in her home on Tuesday evenings. The class grew larger and larger, and Bellingham's health broke down under the strain. Reverend C.F. McCarthy, a young clergyman in a neighbouring parish, took her class until she recovered. The class was so successful that it was removed to a schoolroom in Bow Street near St. Mildred's Church. Roman Catholics came and were encouraged to defend the religion to the best of their ability. By the end of the year, 60 persons were attending. Bellingham also devised a scheme to bring religious instruction to all the Roman Catholics in the streets and lanes and courts of the city of Dublin. A set of earnest Christian men, scripture readers, would go two by two into all the houses, teaching people in the way that she had found so successful with the Roman Catholics in her own home. She took a map of the city, and with the help of Arthur Guinness, divided the poor parts into districts for the scripture readers, and the richer parts into districts in which ladies might gather the funds necessary for the maintenance of these men. On the 1st of March, 1850, the first three pairs of men began their mission in Cork Street, New Street, Townsend Street, Summerhill, and James Street. By the end of 1852, the scripture readers had made 20,000 visits to homes and had spoken individually to 54,936 persons. In 1852, Bellingham married Reverend Hyacinth Darcy here in Maynooth, Church of Ireland, and she threw herself wholeheartedly into his work with the Irish Church Missions in Connemara. Her fragile health soon broke down under her unremitting exertions. She died childless, aged 46, on the 26th of June, 1854, in Clifton. Fanny Bellingham was a woman of earnest prayer. She dedicated her life to the Protestant Evangelical Missionary cause. She served on the committee of the Ladies Auxiliary to the Irish Society from 1841 until 1846. She helped Reverend Dallas in his plans to set up the Irish missions to the Roman Catholics. She established the Dublin Visiting Mission in 1848. This remarkable woman, whose powers of organization were as uncommon as her energy and quickness of judgment, is invisible, except through the lives of her male relatives and co-workers. Although she was her husband's right hand in all his labors of love, and herself the life and soul of the whole mission, her name is not included on Hyacinth Darcy's headstone. It was left to her friends to erect her memorial tablet. Thank you.